than people with far greater raw talent. As Drucker states early in these pages, people endowed with tremendous brilliance are often strikingly ineffectual. And if that's true for the exceptionally brilliant, what hope is there for the rest of us? Actually, there is something much better than hope: Drucker's practical disciplines. I first read The Effective Executive in my early 30s, and it was a huge inflection point in my own development. Reading the text again, I'm reminded of how its lessons became deeply ingrained, almost as a set of commandments. Some of Drucker's examples and language might be dated, but the insights are timeless and modern. As helpful today as when he wrote them more than five decades ago. Here in this foreword, I offer 10 lessons that I learned from Peter Drucker and this book, and that I offer as a small portal of entry into the mind of the greatest management thinker of all time. Number one. First, manage thyself. That one can truly manage other people is by no means adequately proven, Drucker writes. But one can always manage oneself. How can you possibly expect others to perform at the highest levels without first expecting that of yourself? Drucker lays out a law of organized performance: the ratio of a leader's performance to those on his or her team remains constant. Therefore, if you want the average performance of those around you to go up, you must first improve your own performance. Number two, do what you're made for. One of Drucker's most arresting points is that we are all incompetent at most things. The crucial question is not how to turn incompetence into excellence, but to ask, what can a person do uncommonly well? This leads inevitably to a conclusion. Your first responsibility is to determine your own distinctive competencies. What can you do uncommonly well? What are you truly made for? And then navigate your life and career in direct alignment. To focus on weakness is not only foolish, it is irresponsible, challenges Drucker. Does Drucker's build on strength imperative mean never confronting our or others' deficiencies? Yes and no. It means that if you're made to be a distance runner, don't try to be a middle linebacker. At the same time, you must address deficiencies that directly impede full flowering of your strength. When Michael Jordan was reaching the end of his basketball career, he could no longer fly to the basket with the same height and power as when he was younger. So he began to build a strength he'd never previously had: a fade-away jumper. He eradicated a crucial weakness within his strength, turning his fade-away jumper into yet another Jordan-can-kill-you strength on the court. Do what you're made for, yes, but then get better and better. Eradicate weakness, yes, but only within your strength. Number three, work how you work best, and let others do the same. If you're a tool put here on this earth to be useful, how does the tool best work? Some people work well at night. Others work better in the morning. Some absorb information.